Grace, mercy, and peace be given to you from the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those words of our Lord that we read this morning and consider is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, also the Sea of Galilee. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of the crucified and risen and ever-living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. On Easter Sunday morning, an angel came and rolled away that heavy stone that lay in front of the tomb where Jesus had been laid. And he approached the women who had come there, and he gave them the good news why the tomb was empty. It was because Jesus had risen back to life. Then he instructed them to bring this good news to the disciples in Jerusalem and tell them, "Go to Galilee, because Jesus is going to appear to you there." As the women made their way back to the city of Jerusalem, Jesus appeared to them. And they heard the instruction, this time from Jesus, "Tell the disciples to go to Galilee, and I will appear to them there." Now we know that Jesus showed himself alive to his disciples a number of times before that Galilean encounter. Why then was there a special instruction to go to Galilee? Since Peter was singled out as one to especially be told of his appearance, well, we can conclude by this that he needed to hear Jesus tell him that he was restored to his apostolic office, which he had forfeited due to his threefold denial of Jesus. In addition to this, the Galilean appearance had special significance to all of his disciples, including you and me. While the disciples waited for Jesus to appear to them in Galilee, Peter said, "I'm going to go fishing. Why waste the time? Let's go and fish." And the others went along with him. Now, this wasn't one of those sporting kind of fishing, you know, you just catch a mesh of fish and bring it back for a meal. They went out like they did before when they were commercial fishermen. They went with huge nets. And so they went out. And they were very experienced at fishing in Galilee. They knew the right time and the right place to go fishing. And that was in the shallows. The water was not so deep. And it was in the evening hours. That was the best time for catching fish. But after fishing all night long, they came up empty. No fish. Off on the shoreline, there was a distant person. They didn't quite recognize who it was to begin with, but this person spoke with a power and authority, and he inquired of them, "Do you have any fish that we can have for breakfast?" And they said, "No, we didn't catch a single fish." After hearing the results, Jesus said, "Now you take your nets and you throw them out into the sea on the right side of the boat, and you will be sure to catch fish." And lo and behold, their net was full of large fish. There was so much in the net they couldn't bring it into the boat. They had to haul the net that was in the water up to the shore. In response to this extraordinary catch of fish, which came at the direction of that person on shore, John said, "It's the Lord." And when Peter heard that, he just jumped into the water and he swam to shore because he wanted to see Jesus. This miraculous catch of fish no doubt reminded them of the first time that Jesus did this. This was at the beginning of his ministry when he enabled them to have a miraculous catch of fish. And then he said, "Now I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're not going to be catching these little things anymore. You're going to be catching people." This miracle, like all the miracles of Jesus, revealed his glory as God. And in this case, it served as a testimony to his disciples that he's alive. He's a living Lord and Savior. This blessed truth cannot be emphasized enough. For to know that Jesus has risen back to life from the grave, he showed he's the Lord, who alone could bear all the sins of the world on his shoulders and pay the full price in atonement for all our many sins. Only the Lord could conquer sin, death, and the devil in order to give us life and immortality. Do you know what immortality is, boys? What does it mean to be immortal? It means you can live forever, never die again. The devil knows full well how important the teaching of Christ's bodily resurrection from the grave is. And he knows that this is what gives us peace and comfort and the knowledge of God's forgiveness through Jesus, the living Savior, and the sure and certain hope of eternal life in heaven. The devil knows this. This teaching, this bodily resurrection of Jesus, is critical to our Christian faith. And so he uses his human agents here on earth to try to raise questions and doubts as to whether or not Jesus really rose from the dead. Well, one example of what they tried to pull on us, to pull the wool over our eyes, is an account that said that they found a crypt, a burial box, with bones in it. And on the outside of the crypt is inscribed, "Jesus, Mary, and a youth." Well, Jesus appeared to them alive to show that his body is not lying in a grave somewhere. No. And he made doubly sure that the people knew that he was alive because he appeared to hundreds of people who saw them with their own eyes to give them proof he is the living Savior. And this miraculous fix, a catch of fish, is one of those undeniable proofs that gives evidence of Jesus being the living Lord. With Jesus' redemptive work being fully completed, Jesus used the time remaining before he would ascend into heaven to prepare his disciples for the important work of being fishers of men, gathering precious souls into his kingdom. And the miraculous catch of fish is kind of like a symbolic picture, reminding the disciples then and now of the power of the gracious hand of the Lord at work in giving the increase of bringing people into his kingdom. The fruitless efforts of the disciples fishing all night long on their own calls to mind how vain and foolish it is for us, or any of us, to rely upon our own efforts, our own devices, in making disciples of all nations. And yet, what do we find happening in modern day churches? We hear of slick promotional programs, the use of marketing devices, and the development of religious packages that don't say anything about the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. They figured, well, if we could use this fancy kind of ways, we're going to gather people into our churches. What does the Lord say about doing this important work of being fishers of men? He gives us a command, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Even as he told the disciples to cast the net onto the right side of the boat, and he brought in a huge catch of fish, so also he tells us, now you cast the gospel into all the world, and I will bring in precious souls into the kingdom. I'm the one who's going to give them faith. He will bless the efforts of gathering precious souls. Well, the gospel of Christ is not appealing to the unconverted man. It's to the worldly wise, it's foolishness. It's nonsense. To those who are looking for signs, it's a stumbling block. But Scripture says the gospel is the power of God and salvation for everyone who believes. The power is in the Word. Through the simple gospel message cast out into the world, the Spirit of God lovingly casts that bright light into sin-blind eyes. And it opens people's eyes and their hearts to believe what Isaiah recorded the Lord saying, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. Another important lesson that can be drawn from the miraculous act of catching all those fish at the Sea of Tiberias is the Lord's power and faithfulness of providing for his servants of the Word and his kingdom. Now, in the miracle catch, Scripture says that they caught 153 fish. These were not little immature fish. The Scripture says these were large fish. And it was not just intended for them to have a good big fish fry. No, they could take the fish to the market, and they could bring in a lot of money from all those fish. Now the apostles were just about ready to start their ministry, full-time ministry, and they were no longer catching fish. They needed support. And so they could take those fish to market and they could bring home a sizable amount of money that would support them in their ministry. Not only did the Lord supply the disciples with the financial resources through the miraculous catch, but when they came to shore, he had breakfast ready for them. Fish on hot coals and included bread. Now, we're not told in Scripture how this came about. It doesn't say whether Jesus went fishing. He could have used his power, his divine power, to do it. We're just not told. But he had enough to satisfy the disciples for what they needed to eat. These mighty acts by the Lord Jesus are a clear demonstration of his power and faithfulness to provide for his church all the church's need to carry on the work on the earth. As the Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. The Lord's going to take care of that. Just like he feeds the birds of the air and clothes the flowers of the field, so we confidently trust that he will most certainly see to it that the church has what it needs to carry on the work of the kingdom. Now, the Lord could do this in a supernatural, miraculous way anytime he sees fit to do so. He most commonly provides for his church by blessing the hearers of the word with financial means and resources which they can use to support the work of the kingdom. Mindful of this, we must confess that we haven't always given to the church as according to what we've been blessed. And when we are mindful of that, we bow our head and we ask the Lord to forgive us for Jesus' sake, and also to help us to realize, now, God has blessed me with this much, and I can do more in providing for God's kingdom, if that's possible. In our congregation, as well as in our synod, we are very much aware of the need for the Lord to bless our fellowship with adequate financial support. This past week, various boards of our synod met in Eau Claire to discuss the important matter in our joint church work, such as budget matters, considering how they could spend the money to do mission work. Just as the disciples at the Sea of Galilee witnessed the power and the faithfulness of the Lord in supplying their needs for the kingdom, so also we look to the Lord to do the same in our kingdom work. May he give us faith in his continued blessings so that we never sell the Lord short in what he can do for us, or be fearful in taking bold steps in doing what's necessary for the good and the advancement of his kingdom. Praise be to Jesus for revealing his glory as the living Lord through his resurrection appearances and his miraculous acts at the Sea of Galilee, thus assuring us we have a Savior who lives to cleanse us of our sins and give us eternal life. May God help us to remember the important lessons in being fishers of men, that our work is just to cast the net of the gospel out into the world, and it's the Lord's work to bring people to faith and to his kingdom. Finally, pray that the Lord would continue to pour out his bountiful blessings on us and move our hearts by his redeeming love to meet the needs of his kingdom for the sake of precious souls that Jesus died to save. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.